People Are Funny. Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, repeating the best shows of the past season. And now, here's radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Howdy, everybody. Roy Rowan, who's first on tonight's show from Hollywood?
Our first guest is Miss Elsie George from Los Angeles.
Hello, Miss George. Now, let's see, you volunteered as a single girl out of the audience.
That's right.
What do you do for a living, Miss George?
I'm a doctor.
A real doctor?
Real doctor.
Dr. George?
Yes.
You're about 20, in your late 20s?
That's right.
And you're a medical doctor?
That's right.
Well, that's a surprising thing. And that you would volunteer after seeing what... Well, you could operate on yourself no matter what happened. Did you, and you're not married?
No.
We think that people are funny about vacations, Dr. George. When they travel and they meet friends in the summer and they casually get acquainted, and pretty soon they say, you must be sure to look me up when you come to my hometown if you ever do. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Now, people are funny because they never expect these summer acquaintances to actually show up and pay a visit to them. But tonight it's going to happen to you. Here's what's going to happen, Dr. George. We're going to send you out to a nearby neighborhood, and you're going to drop in on a strange family. You don't know them, they don't know you, and they don't know you're going to arrive. Now, you're going to pretend that on your vacation, you met some of their friends who told you, oh, you must know these nice people out in Hollywood, and they told you to pay them a visit. Now, you're just going to drop in, and you'll know about them. We'll give you the information. You got the card, John? Here's the address, and a lot of stuff we found out from the neighbors about these people. You see, they're from Cincinnati, and they have a lot of people back there they know. You got that?
Yes.
Tell them you won't be there long, a week or so. You're just traveling. Think you can do it?
I don't know how.
You've got to pretend that you're really a good friend. You're breezing in for a visit, and would you feel better if somebody else went along with you?
Could I?
Would you like
another one? Yes, please.
Well, all right. And of course, to send somebody along and make it a good story, we should pretend that you're married.
Oh.
Is that all right? A man?
Yes.
Just pretend that he's on. And we'll provide the husband. Would you like to have the loan of a husband for half an hour?
All right.
All right. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, People Are Funny provides a husband. We don't skimp. Here he comes, Mr. Ted Evans, a 9-foot giant. Shake hands with your new husband, doctor. This is the biggest guy you ever saw in your whole life. Ted, you're. Are you one of the New York Giants?
No, I'm with the Ringling Brothers Giants.
He's with the circus, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. How long have you been with the circus, Ted?
2 years now.
Uh-huh. Where do you come from?
Originally from London, England.
Oh, you're an Englishman. Uh-huh. Dr. George, what do you think of this, huh?
I don't think I'll lose him anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. For a girl who came to CBS without a man, you must admit you have hit the jackpot.
Yes.
Now, Ted, you and Dr. George are going to leave, and here's what happens. She's going to pretend to be your wife, and you're going to pay a surprise visit. He looks surprised, too. You're going to pay a surprise visit to a Hollywood family who don't even know you're coming. Now, you're supposed to have just arrived in town. Irv, where's the suitcase? Would you bring out the suitcase? What a piddly little suitcase for this family. Now, Irv Atkins has a special car waiting outside, big enough for Ted to get into, because you have two cars, have you, Irv? He rides in one, and she rides in the other. And you'll be driven out to this house a few blocks away. Now, Dr. George, your husband will stay in the car, and you go up alone and knock on the door. When somebody answers, you tell them, you know, your friends are their pals, and so forth and so on. When they ask you to in, you yell out to your new husband to bring the bags and come on up. You see, he's down there. They haven't seen him yet. Let's hear you yell. You know, like, come on in, honey. This is the place. Real loud.
Come on in, honey. This is the place.
That's good. See, now, Ted, when you hear that, you come lumbering up the front walk, and then go right in the house. Uh-huh. Go right in the house. Take the door with you. And, Miss George, you tell the people in the house not to worry, that he's a real nice husband. Ted, you go on into the bedroom, take off your shoes, and stretch out on the bed. Be friendly, run your feet through the wall a few times, try the room on for size. Miss George, what do you think this poor family who doesn't even know what's going to happen here, what'll they be doing?
Is there any way we can resuscitate them?
You see what happens when you have a doctor on the show? These big, long words. Resuscitate, yes, you as a doctor will be needed. And they may call the cops, because you never know how things like this work out. Don't worry, Ted.
Big 38s, they make me equal. Yeah.
No, the cops will take one look at you and they'll go back on some other beat. This... Now, Miss George, if they do get very huffy about you coming in, tell them your last trump card. You say that you and your new husband are tired. You've looked every place for a place to stay, and you're real tired because you're expecting a little stranger. Did I say a little stranger? Well, anyhow, after you've played as much of this terrible joke as you can on them, you come back to CBS, ask them to come back with you, and we'll give them a more pleasant surprise, okay?
All right.
I think you'll have fun, Miss George. It's a new experience for you and for them, too. Ted and everybody, say goodbye to them, audience. There they go. Who's next, Roy?
Our next guest is Miss Rose Baugh from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hello, Mrs. Baugh. You married lady?
Yes, sir.
Husband is, what? What does he do?
He's a driller.
What kind of a driller? Dentist?
Oil driller.
Don't you think our season got off to a good start this year? We might say a big start.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Well, you're going to be in a stunt with something even bigger than the big start you just saw. Would you like to make a guess what is bigger?
I can't imagine unless it'd be an elephant.
Oh, that'd be ridiculous to have an elephant on the show unless... Well, let's open the curtains and see what's there for a minute. An elephant! Mrs. Bob, we have an interesting stunt. Have you heard the old saying, an elephant never forgets?
Yes, I have.
Do you believe it?
Well, it's quite likely that's the truth.
Now, here's what we want you to do. You're going to go back there. You're going to go back through those curtains and feed about a half a dozen candy bars to the elephant. He will love the candy bars, and he'll probably love you for feeding them to him.
Pretty.
Now, after you have fed him a few bars, you go over off stage, away from him, and we'll do the rest of the experiment later. I won't tell you what it is yet, but you might win a beautiful 12-foot freezer for your home. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, wonderful.
Now, one more thing. You will be careful with the elephant.
Me be careful of the elephant? Yes. I'll try not to hurt
him. Well, he's a very valuable animal, and I don't want you shoving him around back there. So go on back there and just feed him. Goodbye, and close the curtain. Mrs. Baugh, a very excited gal, is going to have some fun. Who's next, Roy?
Mr. and Mrs. Harvey Schwartz from El Monte, California. Meet Art Linkletter.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are two guests back from last week. They were picked out of the audience at random. And Mr. Schwartz, you're the husband who thought that you would be more efficient at your wife's housework if you put your mind to it than she is, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, Mrs. Schwartz, what happened since last week when he expressed this opinion on the air?
Well, I think he didn't do so good.
You don't think so. How do you think you did, Mr. Schwartz?
I think I did very well.
Well, somebody called on you, didn't they, Mrs. Schwartz?
Yes, Dr. Keeler called on us.
And he's an efficiency expert. We sent him out to their house, and what did he do out there?
He put us to do certain tasks that we were supposed to be efficient at them, and he would see who was the best.
He compared the two of you, didn't he? Uh-huh. Did it make you nervous having a stranger in your house watching you do your housework?
No, I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
He was a very pleasant gentleman.
Well, Mr. Schwartz, most husbands brag about the fact that if they could just change places with their wives, it'd be easier. Would you consider that it was easier?
Well, there's less mental strain to it. I mean, the physical labor may be there, but it doesn't take any particular capacity to do your housework.
Well, now, wait a minute. Don't be in a rush to blame him, ladies. You have what is your regular job, Harvey?
I'm a salesman.
See, he has to use his mind all the time and thinking. Do you think you did things more efficiently than your wife when you put your mind to it?
Yes, I think so.
Uh-huh. Now, before the results are made public by an efficiency expert who is used to checking all kinds of employment and all kinds of jobs, would you be willing to make a little bet that you were more efficient than your wife?
Yes, sir. I think I was more efficient than my wife.
All right. Now, if you were more efficient in this impartial report, we will give you the $250 outfit for yourself that we promised you. And if you weren't, would you be willing... How old is your baby, Mrs. Schwartz?
A year old.
Would you be willing to diaper the baby for an entire month?
Yes, sir.
What do you think of this bet, Mrs. Schwartz?
Well, I think it's fine.
All right. Now, let's meet our efficiency expert and see what happens. This is Dr. Vernon Keeler from Keeler & Associates in Beverly Hills. Ladies and gentlemen, doctor... Howie. Now, Dr. Keeler, you have your clipboard here with all the papers and reports and everything. You were out the Schwartz's last week.
That's right, yes.
And you had them do similar jobs.
Yes, we had them do similar jobs for us, see whether we could do it.
What was the first actual test in the efficiency of housekeeping versus husband versus wife?
That had to do with making the beds. He said that he had learned how to do this, especially in the Army Air Corps.
Mr. Schwartz, so you were in the Army?
Yes, sir.
Who taught you to make beds?
I guess some sergeant did in the Army.
Yeah, how did you do with the job at home, do you think?
Very good.
You did a good job of making the bed.
I could bounce a half a dollar off it.
All right, doctor?
He tried to bounce a half a dollar off of this. I don't think he could bounce a tin pan on it. But in making up the bed, he did a portion of it very nicely. Then he got the spread off on the floor. He got it balled up with a throw rug there. And, in fact, Mrs. Schwartz had to come to his rescue and help him get the spread on and the line straight and so forth.
Now, this is an actual report.
Yeah, that's an actual report of the two people there.
What was the next test, Dr. Keeler?
The second thing which we had them to do was clean up the bedrooms.
How did Mrs. Schwartz do?
Mrs. Schwartz did it very nicely. She had the items arranged very nicely and neatly. He had three available flat surfaces, the top, a chest of drawers in the bedroom for a large... He had his large typewriter there. He had unanswered letters, souvenirs from South America. And in, I asked him to clean up the materials there. He scooped them all up into one stack.
Now, the third test, as I recall, it had something to do with the sewing machine. Do you remember that, Mr. Schwartz?
Vaguely.
The doctor asked you if you'd be capable of handling it. Did you try?
Yes, sir.
How do you think you did?
Well, very good, considering I'm not the seamstress in the family. My wife is.
How did it appear to you, Doctor?
It appeared to me as if he was going somewhat in the form of making a jigsaw puzzle. As a seamstress, she was making a sports shirt for her husband. She has made her own clothes and those for the baby. She's adept at using a sewing machine as well as with sewing by hand. And I was afraid of his attempts in using a sewing machine that would probably never be usable of anyone else.
That's the way he used it. What do you think of this report so far, Mr. Schwartz?
Well, I think it's a little biased. I mean, I feel that Dr. Keeler's a capable person, but I think I did a pretty good job for a novice at the...
Yes, uh-huh. It just shows you, ladies and gentlemen, what a husband thinks, how he sees things. Did you get in the kitchen at all, Dr. Keeler?
Oh, yes, I was in the kitchen. Mrs. Schwartz, you'll notice, is rather... she's too short to reach the shelving in the kitchen cabinets. Her husband has been promising to make her a stepladder, stool to use in reaching things. She climbs a shelf at a time to reach them. As yet, the husband has never gotten around to doing anything about building this ladder, as he likes to play around with spray painting out in the garage, so the neighbors tell me.
Well, now, Dr. Keeler, last week, Mr. Schwartz guessed his wife's rating at 40. What would you say his wife's rating would be?
I would rate her at an efficiency rating art of 78%.
78. That's a little higher than you thought, you remember, Mr. Schwartz. You gave her 40. Now, Dr. Keeler, Mr. Schwartz guessed last week that he would rate 70. What do you think he should have?
I think he probably ought to have about 35%.
35. Mr. Schwartz, did you hear the verdict?
Yes, I heard the verdict, but I don't agree with it at all.
Well, now, I guarantee this was not a stacked verdict, Dr. Keeler. It's only fair, Mr. Schwartz, that you pay off the bet. You may have, you diaper the baby for 1 month. Your wife won't care how efficient it is, will you,
no,
Mrs.
I
Schwartz?
Won't.
And not only does she win your services for a month, but we want her to have the $250 outfit, not you. And Mr. Schwartz, we do have a prize for you. Would you bring it out, boys? We have a saw, some lumber, and blueprints for building a kitchen ladder. And, Dr. Keeler... I have something for you, Dr. Keeler, and that's a question. You're a married man.
Yes, I am.
How would you rate your efficiency at home around the household as compared with your wife?
Oh, in the household? She's 99 99 hundredths percent, and I'm 0.01%. I've got to go home, you know.
Well, doctor, thanks for being with us. And Schwartz's, thanks for demonstrating that husbands aren't as smart at home as they think they are. Goodbye, Josephine. And now for the lady we sent behind the curtain to feed candy bars to the elephunk. I say elephunk because that's what my little girl, Diane, says. Elephunk. You're Mrs. Rose Baugh.
Yes, sir.
And Mrs. Baugh, you had an unusual experience tonight, didn't you?
I certainly did.
We wanted to find out if an elephant never forgets. You fed the elephant candy bars.
Yes.
Now, to make this a good test, we will need, in addition to you, Mrs. Baugh, three people whom he has never seen before and who have never given him anything to eat. I'm going to pick the Marine as one of the fellows, let me have the girl down there in the purple dress as a girl and this fellow here in the light gray suit. So we'll have two girls and two men. And we're going to have them all come up on the stage. Now, this is an experiment. We don't know what's going to happen, as in practically every stunt on the show. You are Miss...
Margie Richmond.
Miss or Mrs.?
Miss.
Uh-huh. You're about how old?
I'm 17.
17. And what's your name, sir?
Larry McCune.
Where are you from, Larry?
Eagle Rock.
Eagle Rock, California. And Marine?
Glenn Lindgren.
Where are you from, Glenn?
Madison, Wisconsin.
We are ready for the experiment. Now, wait a minute. Before we open the curtains, we want Mrs. Baugh to stand right here. The Marine stand about 4 feet to her left with your backs to the audience. This single gal right here and the other gentleman over there, will you? Now, Eugene Scott, the trainer, tells me that the elephant's name is Ruth. It's obviously a girl elephant. And Mrs. Baugh, you and your three helpers are going to call for her to come to you. You see when the curtain opens. And if the elephant chooses you, that shows that he has not forgotten your kindness. And you get a beautiful 12-cubic-foot freezer. The freezer guaranteed to outperform all others. Now, Eugene Scott, if you'll open the curtain, and we'll see who he goes to. Would you all start calling him, please? And, now, wait, the elephant is moving toward the Marine, and the elephant has grabbed the Marine's hand. You lost, Mrs. Ball. And so our Marine, how old are you, young fellow?
20.
20. Mm-hmm. Got any money?
A little bit.
Well, we're going to add to it. $100 in cash.
Oh, huh? Thanks a lot.
I like that. Marine, you get the $100. And Mrs. Baugh, you didn't get the Amana freezer.
No, I'm a good loser.
You are, and we want you to have $50 worth of merchandise. You'll have a fine selection of anything you want.
That's right.
Thank you, Mrs. Baugh. At the beginning of People Are Funny, tonight, we sent a single woman out to drop in on a strange family in Hollywood who didn't know they were coming and pretend she knew friends of theirs who'd asked her to drop in on them. And to make it more fun, we sent along with her a 9-foot giant from the Ringling Brothers Circus to pose as her husband. They're back now, so send Mrs. George, our doctor gal, in with her husband, and look at the family they brought in with them. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people living in one of the houses. Miss George? Let's find out the sequence of events. Miss George, you were driven out to this neighborhood. You went up to this house, knocked on the door by yourself.
Yes.
Who answered the door?
Mr. Neymar. Waymar.
Mr. who?
Waymar.
Waymar. And what did you say?
I said that the Lentos there in Cincinnati were good friends of us, and they told us when we got here to be sure to look them up.
Did they seem surprised at the name?
Well, a little bit, and he said, well, come on in right away.
Oh, they invited you right,
right
in.
Away.
There was no
right
hesitation.
Away. He said that they were the best, among their best friends, and there's nothing they wouldn't do for a friend of the Lentos.
Oh, so you established yourself real solid.
That's right.
Then you turned around and yelled for your husband to come in.
That's right.
What did they do when they saw him 9 feet tall walking up the aisle? Huh?
Nobody could say a word but Mr. Waymar, and he was really brave about it.
What did he say?
Well, he just went right on talking. He didn't. They were just as polite as they could be. They tried to pretend that he was just no taller than this.
You mean they pretended that he was a normal-sized fella?
Yes, they just pretended it.
Well, now, how did they react when you said that you might be there for a few days?
Well, they sort of looked at each other, but they said, well, any friend of the Lentos, they had a lot of neighbors come in, too, and they all wanted to know if we were going to spend the night.
Well, did you ever have to go so far, Miss George, as to say you were expecting a little stranger?
No.
You didn't do that. You didn't have to, because, well, as a matter of fact, these folks were so nice to you. I'm going over and chat with them. You are Mrs.?
That's right.
Mrs. who?
Mrs. Waymire.
Mrs. Waymire. And you were home, of course. What
yes.
were you doing when this happened?
Well, I was just sitting there.
You had you eaten dinner?
Yes. And
huh?
No, we hadn't eaten dinner as yet. Terry and I were going out for dinner.
Well, you see, I don't blame you for not knowing at this point whether you've eaten dinner or not. After what's happened to you tonight.
It shouldn't happen to a dog.
What business are you in, sir?
I'm a salesman with Wilshire Club.
Uh-huh. And your name is?
Terry Waymire.
And how old are you, Terry?
18.
18. Well, what were your reactions when you saw this giant walk in?
I didn't know what to do.
Uh-huh. Well, you were real polite.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Were you expecting them to really stay, Mrs. Waymire?
Well, when Terry asked him to stay overnight, I looked at her. I thought, well, where am I going to put him?
You need
I didn't have a bed that he could sleep in. And I started to shake. I'm still shaking. But I was going to put him up. I mean, on the floor.
In other words, what you mean is you were going to put him down.
I sure was.
Here's the young son. What's your name?
Ed.
Ed, what were you doing when this started out, when it happened? Were you just sitting there?
Homework.
Oh, your homework is suffering tonight. Were you willing to have him stay overnight?
Yes.
Well, I think you folks proved something very interesting tonight. We're always on this show proving that people are funny. But I think this family has proved that people are pretty wonderful, too. And hospitable and real kind-hearted. And, to be confronted by this giant and this stranger and to have them come in. Miss George, don't you agree?
I surely do. I always thought that the South was the place where hospitality reigned supreme, but I think it's out here, too.
Well, this is, of course, this is the South. This is Southern California.
I meant the Deep South.
The Deep South. Well, this is the southern part of Hollywood. As a matter of fact, Mr. and Mrs. Waymire, for being so nice and for coming back over here, I tell you what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to give each of them a 21-inch television set. What do you think of that, huh? With panoramic vision.
Oh.
You glad?
Oh.
And you're a wonderful-looking family. And, Miss George, you happy?
Yes.
Oh. All right, now.
This is a dream.
But on Tuesday nights, you listen to radio.
Well, we always do.
All right. I don't want to lose you. Goodbye to all of you, and thanks for proving that people are funny. Good night.
United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.